We are joined now in the studio by the first vice chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party, attorney and former Orange Dems chair, also, I believe, Chapel Hill High School graduate. Is that correct? It is Jonah Garson. Jonah, thank you for being here today.
Happy to be here.
Very glad you could be in studio, and there's a lot to talk about. First of all, we just had elections here in Chapel Hill, and it was a pretty contentious and well paid attention to election. How do you think that went from, from the standpoint of a Chapel Hill guy and then from the standpoint of the first vice chair of the Democratic Party for the state?
Love the participation, love the engagement around issues around affordable housing and sustainable communities. And that's what I'll say on that.
Very well played, sir. Very well played. In terms of going forward, do you think there were any lessons learned statewide from this municipal election cycle?
Oh, for sure. When our new reform-minded North Carolina Democratic Board came in February of this year, we all said, and specifically, you know, our chair, Anderson Clayton, said that we were going to give particular attention to recruiting and resourcing and supporting local races across the state. Really, not so much even in terms of building a bench for our legislative and statewide races, but because, as we know, and as was so much a part of our local public discourse over the past weeks and months, so much of policymaking and progressive policymaking happens at the local level, especially because we have the General Assembly that we currently have.
So to kind of put those two questions together, did you see data to suggest that push was working in this election cycle when it was hyper-local? And, you know, we've got parts of the state where frequently those hyper-local offices don't have Democratic candidates. Was there evidence that the needle's moving on that?
The best evidence are the outcomes, which we are frankly thrilled about across the state. It is very hard sort of going into local election cycle. You know what your inputs are. You know the energy you're putting in. You know the work you're putting in. You know the recruitment you've done. You know the resourcing you've done. You know the quality of the candidates. You know that Pitt County, North Carolina, has an amazing new dynamic Democratic Party board. You know that New Hanover and Mecklenburg counties are endorsing strategically for the first time to prevent Democrats, for instance, for splitting their votes. And you see all that, but really you don't know until the day after Election Day, and sometimes not even then. But what we saw across the state is Democrats making huge local pickups, whether it's in an intensely re-gerrymandered county like a Pitt County or an Alamance County or a New Hanover County, where there is now a 5-2 Democratic majority on the Wilmington Town Council, or whether it's defeating a slew of Moms for Liberty-backed registered Democratic candidates running for school board through a careful endorsement process, even if it's flipping the mayor's seat in High Point, you know, one of the last of our ten most populous cities in the state of North Carolina to have a Republican mayor, or if it's in these red towns where we flipped council seats and mayor's seats. That's where you see evidence that what we're doing is working.
It's the voice of Jonah Garson. He's the first vice chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party. And several months ago, we had Anderson Clayton, the chair of the Democratic Party, in, and it was sort of right after that election happened inside the party, where I think the story kind of outwardly was very much that this was a very clear, I want to say youth movement, but I don't even think that's necessarily the right terminology. But there was a clear move in a different direction in the state party about a year ago. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that and what that's been like in the months since.
Yeah, I think you just had a lot of folks. You had more multi-generational work, frankly, than we had ever had before. You look at our current state board, you know, we have every generation represented. We got, you know, I'm a geriatric millennial at this point. We got Gen Z. We got Gen X and Dr. Kimberly Hardy, our second vice chair. You know, we have boomers. We have greatest generation represented, I believe. We have everyone represented. That trend also, though, bears out in county party leadership. And really, the story of our successes this past Tuesday, locally, beyond what we anticipated, is the story of dynamic, in many instances, dynamic younger leadership stepping up into a multi-generational leadership context. When I say younger leadership, too, I'm not just talking about Gen Z. I'm talking about Gen Xers. That's, you got to think about this relatively.
Right, we're talking politics here. Young is under 50, right?
Yeah, no, precisely. And so I think that what we're seeing is more folks sort of self-selecting in to these important local positions. That, and I mean candidates, I mean party officials, folks, you know, taking a more active role in the life of our democracy because they feel compelled to.
So what logistically or in actuality feels different right now than maybe it did 1 year ago for the state Democratic Party?
I think we have an operations plan coming into shape for how we build for the long term some of our turnout structures that we've needed to build for a long time. Structures that will survive more than a single election cycle. That means regional organizing programs that reflect best practice learned in other battleground states, like your Michigans and Wisconsins. We have a new executive director, Kian Sajati, who has done a lot of amazing work in different battlegrounds. And, you know, he's stepped in to build what I would characterize as a new sustainable organization, not given to the sort of boom and bust cycle that so often runs contrary to our efforts at maintaining democratic engagement that leads to turnout.
It's the voice of Jonah Garson, first vice chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party. And I wonder, first of all, we got to talk. You mentioned gerrymandering earlier, and obviously the new maps that came out were, you know, everybody saw them, and I think in a lot of ways it was what people were expecting. How surprised by those maps were you, and what do you expect to happen next?
We weren't surprised. I mean, I think what we are personally, I was a intern at the General Assembly in my early 20s, working for State Senator Ellie Kinnaird of Orange County and Representative Paul Lubke. When we lost control of the General Assembly, that is Democrats, in 2010, and when last decade's re-gerrymandering happened, never did I think that by the time I was in my mid to late 30s, that we would still be where we are right now, where folks are playing just a crass power game. The maps are re-gerrymandered. The gerrymanders are real tough, but here's what we do know. There is a very, very clear path to breaking the supermajority in both chambers next year. Very clear. Even with some flex and contingency built in. And it's going to be an active fight to claw our way back from the void where we find ourselves now, going towards 2030, but we can do it. We knew the sort of lessons of effective battleground states facing the same sort of anti-democratic controls from the last decade. It's a matter of us consistently taking the prescriptions.
So if you say that there's a clear path for that, tell me a key area where we're going to see that play out, if those paths play out the way you'd like them to.
I think I won't go through district by district, and I will say again, we have multiple paths in each chamber to breaking the GOP supermajorities currently. But you know, locally for Orange County folks, you know, I would look to Southern Wake County and House District 37, the sort of think about Holly Springs area. I would look at Granville County. We have an amazing state senator, Mary Wills Bodie, there right now, who won a narrow victory and will be fighting hard for her seat. Look to Wilson. We have an amazing Carolina grad in Dante Pittman. He's in his 30s. He's already announced his candidacy. Those are some areas to look for very competitive races and for great candidates.
We're visiting with Jonah Garson, and we're just about out of time, so I wanted to leave the last bit for you. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't yet gotten to?
I would just say folks should take heart from our results across the state on Tuesday. They were very, very good. And we're talking about great results in some of the places that face some of the worst of re-gerrymandering. Folks are fired up. We saw what happened nationally. And going forward next year, we're looking at the same trend. So folks, take heart, put your shoulder to the wheel.
It's the voice of Jonah Garson. Thank you so much for making time this afternoon. And I look forward to talking again in the future.